We're about to get started on the latest Egg Chasers Rugby podcast. Again, one day late because of JB's jet-setting antics. But apparently, Jay, on your travels in France, Paris over the weekend, you were told that this little preamble bit before we actually get into the podcast is apparently not funny enough.
No, it's not funny enough for Joe Wykes, so we've got to be funnier.
How do we be funnier? What could we do?
We've got to go up several notches.
Do you know, anyone know any jokes? Maybe no. Can we enlist the help of Captain Bantos, James Haskell, just for these introduction bits?
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah, get me on the phone for
get
2 minutes.
Get him to write it.
There we go. Well, we need some help. Anyway, I apologise for this, again, boring, dull intro. But here we go with the podcast. Hands in, pod on three. One, two, three. Pod! Once again, you're hearing this podcast 24 hours after we would normally like to get it out, but that's because of a delayed flight, Jay.
Yeah, I was stuck in France last night. Too many bags on the airplane, and we had to put some in the hold, and apparently it messes up the weight or something, so...
Well, a good point was made on Twitter saying, come on, boys, this isn't like... A good rugby squad would have a... Like the New Zealanders, look at them, you know. Conrad Smith is injured, so, you know, if someone like Fekitoa or...
Yeah, or Ryan Crotty.
Or Ryan Crotty will step straight in.
If you're comparing me to Conrad Smith, I'm delighted. It's the first and only time I'll ever be compared to Conrad Smith favourably.
But we have no squad depth whatsoever. It's just the three of us. But there you go. If you think you could be a ringer for us, then get in touch on Twitter at Rugby Podcast is where you can find us there. That's where we'll be having a little natter and chewing over the cud in between podcasts. But you're hearing the podcast right now with me, Tim, with him, JB.
Hello, Tim.
And with Phil.
Hi, Tim.
Right. Now, we've got lots to talk about, but there's only one place and only one way that I want to start, and that is with JB giving a heartfelt apology to the nation of Scotland, not even just the rugby squad and rugby fans of Scotland, the whole nation, because what did you say last week? It would be ugly.
I said...
Argentina, it would win and it would be ugly. They were going to rinse Scotland is effectively what you said. So what do you want to say, Jay?
I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. I didn't mean it. I did mean it. I just never knew that they could play rugby. I've made the same mistake twice this season, which is... ignoring Scottish rugby at my peril. Glasgow beat Bath, and now Argentina were laid low by Scotland.
Five tries.
Yeah. I still can't believe they did it. But it won't last. It can't last, can it?
Is it a new approach by Vern Cotter? What did you see from that? Did you think it was Argentina's just been really bad, or Scotland actually... Wow, they've arrived. They've got a different mentality.
But they're the same players.
Style.
Where are they all come from?
No, they've got
quite a few new players.
Yeah. I saw Richie Gray play for Sale. That's not the same guy.
No, he's playing well. They have got some new blood. They've got Bennett and they brought Seymour in. And
Blair
Maitland's back
Cowan's
fit.
Bedded in now. He's having another great
season.
He's
a good player. They've done well to get him.
Finn Russell as well. Playing well at 10. They've just got good players all around. They're not trying to put Sean Lamont in every single position in the back line and you use him for everything.
Yeah. And maybe it's a case for the battle-hardened nature of the players now that they're playing in a competition that's giving them good matches week in, week out in the Pro 12.
Okay, next time Glasgow are on TV and it's easily watchable and it doesn't inconvenience me too much, I'm going to watch Glasgow and just see what I think.
For the record, I think I will like to point out Scottish rugby fans, I was the only person that backed Scotland to beat Argentina.
It was
Phil
a guess.
Also
you flipped
said,
a coin.
"Yeah,
what? I did not flip a coin. I did not flip a coin."
Yeah, I did expect Argentina to be a lot better than that.
But where would Scotland come in the rugby championship then? Do you think they'd do better than Argentina?
It'd probably still come fourth.
Yeah,
but it was the manner of the victory as well.
Yeah.
Scotland scored some really good tries,
which is exactly they haven't been able to score for a few years.
Yeah, their back three all scored.
Both the Grey brothers as well.
Yeah.
The reporting regarding the two Grey brothers has been some of the dullest reporting. It used to be...
is that a pun?
Yeah. No, it's not a pun, but it could be a pun. Right. Now, at the start of the week, it was they're starting in their first ever game together. I was like, well, this can't be true. They must have played rugby together at some point. Then as the week went on, it's their first ever professional game. And then it was their first ever professional competitive game. And then by the end of the week, it was finally their first international.
So
not really quite the story we were hoping
narrowed
for.
Narrowed it
is
down
it?
Somewhat. Yeah.
Well, again, I suppose we've probably all got an apology to make as well to another nation. Not quite in the same way, because Jay, again, it was the manner of Jay's outlandish claim that Argentina would hammer Scotland.
In Argentina.
Well, no, Scotland beat them out there as well.
Yeah, they did it again.
But the result of the weekend, as good as Scotland's were, was that victory in Dublin.
Sensational, especially when you consider the number of injuries that Ireland have got.
Yeah, did you read the team that... Is it Rory? Did he send us it?
Yeah, there was some discussion on Twitter about the team that Ireland could field with all the injured players.
With all the injured players,
just an injury team, and it's pretty impressive.
They've got a very impressive, in like 15 that you could field of injured players, albeit the team that Rory did send through had Keane Healy at 10.
Well,
yeah, and I think Dave Carney was at 9, was he?
I have a question about Ireland. What would you rather have? Who do you think is more important in the peak of their career, Brian O'Driscoll or Jonathan Sexton? Who is more important to Ireland?
Jonathan Sexton is playing so well at the moment. He's absolutely superb.
J10 dished it out at the weekend, didn't he?
Yeah, he just controlling the game, and he's kicking as well.
J10, has he got a brand or something?
Yeah.
Wow.
The audacity when Johnny only retired last year and he wants to be J10.
He was superb.
Wouldn't sexy 10 be better?
There is no more important a position, more influential a position in a team, at particularly when it comes to World Cups and tight matches, than a 10. So I'd, even as good as Brian O'Driscoll was, I'd still say at the peak of his powers, Brian O'Driscoll was better than Jonathan Sexton at the peak of his powers. But who's more important, Jonathan Sexton?
Jonathan Sexton, all the way.
I'd go with that.
All this mourning for Brian O'Driscoll, who, as great as he is,
Well, they've got JP in there now anyway. Yeah. So,
JP.
Brian who?
Yeah, exactly.
He looked good as well.
They all look good.
And Robbie Henshaw playing only his second game or something like that, inside centre.
Am I jumping the gun saying that either Vern Cotter or Schmidt will be coach of the Lions if this carries on?
Has Gatland not already been signed up for it?
I think Gats is already done, yeah.
No, he can't
be signed
signed,
up, sealed, and
three
delivered.
Three years in advance.
I think they did it like immediately after the victory.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they just got it.
But what if he decides to go and coach the All Blacks or something?
Well, it'd be an interesting conflict of interest, coaching both teams in the Lions.
Guys, I can't do it. I can see him going back to New Zealand.
Maybe.
A bad World Cup.
Mm. Yeah. Well, will they have a bad World Cup? Let's just focus on Ireland firstly. If you played that game 10 times, Ireland would win it one or two times. That defensive performance was just incredible.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's a little bit more than a fluke.
It's more than a fluke, but if you look at the stats,
Phil loves his stats. Here they come.
Excuse me. They were heavily in South Africa's favour. They had more possession, more territory, more clean breaks, more offloads. More defenders beaten, more metres made. It, just everything, they were on top.
Facts,
sir. Plural. Besides the scoreline.
Now, Kurtzy, I want to mention one moment, because this ties in with a general theme about television match officials. Now, it was 4 minutes into the game, and the big blindside for South Africa, Kurtzy, got the ball off the back tail of a line-out, charged out, I think it was Paul O'Connell.
Oh, is this a celebration?
Gave him the big fend with his left arm. Then I think Romain Poit just said, I want to check on it. The crowd gave a massive boo when they saw this replay. And it was a big fend. He put his forearm into the throat of Paul O'Connell. And actually, Romain Poit, to be fair, Gates said, no, nothing wrong with that, play on. But the crowd were baying for blood. And it's kind of what Steve Hansen was talking about, where he's claiming the home crowd can have a big impact on matches, and there's too much emphasis on the TMO.
Did anyone notice the celebration by Duplessis after they scored?
No.
See if you can find the audio, it's awesome.
Because
there's audio, and you can hear him going, yes! Yeah, he kind of stands there, bolt upright, looking into space, and shouts, yes! And then he reloads and shouts yes again, and slowly walks away whilst doing what looks like a kind of a double arm curl. Yes! Yes! It's very odd, but I enjoyed it.
Sounds like some kind of Rocky IV in the shed. Well, Kurtzy's fend was fine. Ireland's defence was immense. But this sort of links in with Steve Hansen complaining about the use of the TMO, and we've talked about that lots and lots of times. But another bit that kind of, I'm going to say I was disappointed with over the weekend, was the Millennium Stadium crowd during kicks.
I've only seen the highlights, so you have to tell me about it.
Well, when Foley was lining up a kick at Sticks, the crowd was booing and hissing, and it's just... it's all too football for me. It's not.
It is
it's
South
not
Wales,
rugby.
Mate. It's South Wales.
But even so,
it is my favourite place to watch rugby. To be fair, that stadium is absolutely brilliant. It's a cauldron.
You've got to remember, you've got an economy based entirely around drinking during match days. I mean, it's not surprising it's so good.
But we went to Leicester Tigers for that European match against Ulster, Phil, and that was the one thing that, well, not the one thing, one of many things that really impressed us about that is not only were the crowd impeccably behaved during kicks for whichever side was kicking, but if anyone did pipe up, then the rest of the crowd quickly got them in line and shushed them.
Yeah, and watching the Ireland South Africa game, going back to that, it was impeccable there as well. Absolute deadly silence.
Oh, come on, Wales. You've got an amazing stadium, brilliant atmosphere, but sort yourselves out, pull your socks up a bit if you go into Cardiff for the game at the weekend.
Well, a lot of criticism this week in some of the press about Wales continually playing four tests, which kind of goes into what we spoke about last week, where you want more tests, Tim, and I want less. And this week, they couldn't even fill the stadium. There's 20,000 empty seats.
What's that?
That, mm-hmm. Really?
Oh, yeah, not only that.
I didn't realise it was that. Like
rumours of the WRU giving away tickets.
God. I didn't realise it was like that. Because I presume England, Twickenham and Ireland will all be sold out. I know Murrayfield wasn't sold out.
No, what was in Murrayfield? Like 40,000 or something?
I don't know, probably something similar, yeah.
They all thought what I thought, that there was no chance.
But Wales against Australia, maybe people have just... They're just sick to the back teeth of getting beat by Australia.
Maybe. Well, that and also the fact that if you go to an autumn international, it has nowhere near the atmosphere of the Six Nations.
Yeah.
And you don't have, and also, where are the Australian fans going to come from? Don't say Australia. Because when they play England, all they do is nip across the border from Gloucester or somewhere.
from London.
Yeah.
Plenty of Australians in London.
Yeah, Shepherd's Bush. But Wales, how did you feel, Jay, watching that as a Welshman? They lost again, 10 straight defeats to Australia.
Resigned to losing. I enjoyed the game. I've only seen the highlights, and from what I've seen, we looked like we played very well, but we looked like we threw it away. We just looked like, I mean, you scored four tries. You should be winning games when you score four tries. And we're a very good defensive team, but for whatever reason it was, Reece Webb decided to throw the ball into Folau's chest, and then we had two guys tackle each other for the Kieran Drawney try. Yeah. And it's just silly things. It doesn't worry me. It doesn't worry me because it's just an autumn international. And yes, we've lost nine times. I do genuinely think when we play them in the World Cup, it's going to be a different result.
In the autumn.
Doesn't matter. We'll win it.
So you're saying because it's of no real significance, because it's not for, there's no silverware on the line.
Well, try telling that to the boys who are all lying on the field. But in some ways, having that close loss again, I worry about Wales. I worry about when they win rather than when they lose. Because when they win, they all go out and get hammered. So,
it's a health and safety issue. Gatland's making sure they don't win so that none of them drive the wrong way down the M4.
I feel that if they'd have won, they'd have taken their foot off the gas. But I think this week in training, they're going to be very, very keen for it. If they win their other two, which is going to be unlikely. But if they do, well, actually, no, the next one's very winnable. It's Fiji. But I actually think going to the World Cup, having not beaten them, will give them that extra emphasis. I'm quite looking forward to it.
I quite like Gatland, the selections he makes. There's no place for reputation. Well, there is a little place, but very little place for reputation.
James Hogg will tell you that.
Yeah, it's all on form and how you're playing and some bold selections, and you know, he was justified in a lot of cases. It's a scrum half.
Apart from the interception try.
He's electric.
He's pretty good, isn't he?
He's awesome. But he's been doing that all season for Ospreys. He's looking really, really good. Similarly, Samson Lee, his scrummaging was superb.
Well, Gatland is the opposite to Lancaster, if you ask me. Lancaster is super conservative. I mean,
I don't think Lancaster is super conservative.
He is.
Do you reckon Eastman's a super conservative pick?
No, but Barrett is, isn't it? Rob Shaw, your captain.
I like the selection of Barrett. I think it was the best thing he could have done with Burrell and Tuolagi both out, who he would have picked ahead of Barrett, but Barrett's defence was excellent.
The one thing I'll say about Gatland time and time again is his selections, they don't shock so much, but like he picked George North when he was 17 or 18 or whatever the hell it was. He's played Harry Robinson on one wing. He gives a lot of kids a good go. And he's not afraid to drop big players. I tell you, the other guy who wasn't afraid to drop big players, and I was thinking about today, was Clive Woodward. So, you know, I wouldn't have picked the team that Lancaster picked. And I think Lancaster is the ultra-conservative.
I don't think he is.
I don't think he is.
Give me some outlandish selections.
Well, bringing in Rocco Degunia a year out of the World Cup.
But he's the best winger in the Prem.
Sticking to his guns on Johnny May.
Yeah.
When a lot of people are saying he's not good enough for international rugby.
Yeah. I'm not sure these are outlandish selections.
No, but who would you have picked and put into the team instead of someone who was selected? The only one I would say is I would have liked Will Fraser at 7 and Chris Robshaw at 6.
Okay, well...
But I can understand why he wouldn't do that.
Let's just talk about the England game a second then. So I think England needed some bigger ball carriers. I would say someone like a Haskell or a Ewers who can really run the ball, put them at 6, and then maybe have Will Fraser as a fetcher.
I don't think James Haskell is a big ball carrier.
No, he's not.
Exactly. And the only big ball carrier that they had towards the end of the game was Atwood.
I do think that's a good point on the ball carriers. I think you're unfairly criticising Robshaw, but
maybe two mistakes.
Yeah, fine. People make mistakes. If you counted all the mistakes from all the players up, you'd be listing them all day. But I do think too much was asked of Billy Vunipola, and it was just too easy. It's like when he's playing for Saracens.
Every time they play him, they ask too much of him.
Yeah.
Everything goes through him.
It becomes too easy and too predictable when he is that the only big ball carrier. Mm. So perhaps having Tom Wood and Robshaw, who are both kind of 6.5s, it's not as balanced. So maybe you're right.
Big
and we do
Dave.
Need a big six, a big ball carrying six.
A bit annoyed today. Rugby Paper said, here's 15 players who are not playing for their home nations, and they listed Billy Vunipola, because obviously he's Welsh.
He
speaks with a Welsh accent, and they listed him as like, whatever.
Well, he's born in New Zealand. I think one was born in Australia, one was born in New Zealand.
But they speak with Welsh accents. How much more Welsh do you want?
One thing, that there's no denying that Johnny May finish was absolutely awesome, and he was transferring his club form to international form, but there is no excuse whatsoever for Johnny May's hair.
He looked
like an owl. You know how like there's some little eagle owls have those little tufts on his head?
An eagle owl, wow.
I don't know how he would have got that. Unless like, you know when someone gives you a little at school, do you used to call it
like
a noogie? That you just like rub your fist on their head.
Someone had stolen his dinner money before the match and given him a noogie.
He's skinny enough. I was thinking it might be headphones. They're all into their trendy headphones now, aren't they?
Maybe.
Yeah,
that's the only
maybe.
Thing I could think of. But it was ridiculous. I mean, Gavin Henson used to have like a full-on bath and shave his legs 2 hours before the game, and Johnny May can't even do his hair.
But what a finish.
What a try.
What a try.
Oh, my God. That was so good.
Best try of the weekend?
There was one for Fiji, Nagusa.
Yeah, the full-length one.
Scored an awesome try.
I still think Johnny Mays.
That was good.
Johnny Mays.
Yeah, because Israel Dagg was just thinking, oh, I've got this. Yeah. I've got this. What? You've just gassed me.
He's only got 10 yards of space to go into, and he just... Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I think that's the best individual try of the day. I thought the Cuthbert one was very good.
With North to Cuthbert, yeah, that was good.
North is
great,
awesome.
Great pass that. The game of two halves cliche is just made for England. What? They just got strangled in the second half.
Well, I thought Ford played better than Farrell when he came on.
Well, yeah, in the second half, they just could not get out of their own half.
Here's the thing.
But Farrell had a great first half. He really played game management brilliantly.
I thought brilliantly. It was rusty. Very, very, very rusty.
First half, England were by far on top. More possession, more territory, and bombed a couple of chances as well. They scored one great try, but...
And the New Zealand...
Could have had three.
The New Zealand try was not a try.
Which one?
The first one.
I didn't think...
Because there was debate over that as well. He awarded it straight away.
Yeah. I think that goes upstairs. It doesn't get awarded.
Yeah, I think.
But Fuimaanu, so that one, he awarded it, and then Cruden was waiting to take the conversion, and he went, "Hold on a minute, I just want to check."
Yeah,
went and checked it.
He'd seen the replay on the big screen,
and that's what Steve Hansen was talking about, because the crowd were going boo.
Yeah,
and that Nigel Owens had a look and then went up top,
and there was the other one as well,
Sam
the
Whitelock
try, which. I don't think the replays were conclusive either. I don't think it was a try.
But if Nigel Owens had given the try and said, is there a reason why I can't award it, it would have been given.
Yeah. I was actually watching it in Morpeth Rugby Club, stood next to a referee.
That was fun.
He's a good lad, actually. good old boy from up there. And we were talking about that, and he was saying, as soon as it touches the line, you can't,
offside.
Can't be offside. Because I was saying, oh, he's got to be offside. But he said, no, as soon as it touches the line...
No offside
at all. The ball is live as soon as it's behind the line. There's no offside line for either team. So he can come round and dot it down, but they obviously deem that he...
If, knocked it on in the process of doing it.
Assuming it was touching the line, he's knocked it on in the process of doing it.
But there was that, which is very clever of Sam Whitelock to, in the heat of battle, to have that understanding of the laws of the game. But and also, that's one of the ways Scotland diffused Argentina, by doing what we talked about a few weeks ago, where when it was a line out, Argentina set up for a catch and drive. Scotland stood right off, ran round the back, grabbed the ball.
Yeah, it's good.
Coward's way out.
Oh, well, listen, we are going to now, because we talked about the England, well, the international rugby, we might talk a little bit more about that in a bit, because there's more talking points there. Mm. But here's a little challenge, right? An unselected 15. The 15 best players who are currently being overlooked by their nations. So if they're retired, then that's not eligible.
Correct.
If they're injured, that's not eligible.
They've got to be playing this weekend or available to play.
Yeah, if they're available to play and fit... Then let's pick the best 15 we can. Do you want to start from 1 or 15?
1.
1.
Okay,
although
1 then.
I've got more people in the backs. But
well, this is a bit left field. He's not playing for an international team at the moment. I don't think his international team's playing. Cobblash from Sale. Very solid scrimmage.
He's not playing. Did Moldova not have a team?
Nope. Well, if they do, they're not playing in Aries Park at the moment.
No.
Yeah, Cobblash is...
Great scrimmager. There are
massively improved player.
Yeah. There are a couple of props in Bath that I'd quite like to have a look at. Apparently, Cat is an absolute beast. And also Arteric.
Yeah, Arteric may well get his chance on the line. Probably a bit younger at the moment, but...
And the other prop I was thinking of, next year, Paul James is moving on, of course.
Yes.
Is Afoa.
Yeah, I almost want to don't pick players that choose to...
No,
go and
stop
play abroad, because they're not eligible to play. So it's not like they haven't been selected. It's like
they're willing to play.
They're not eligible for selection.
No, just because the guys on Mount Pius from your union said we're not going to select you. Like Scotland select players from abroad, South Africa do, but for some reason it's too good. It's not going to thrill.
All
England.
Right, fine. But, so,
okay, John Afoa. Because if we don't select players from who have moved abroad, it kind of ruins my front row options.
All right, fine. Let's see. Jonathan, who are your front row options?
Carl Heymans.
Yes.
Oh, how did I miss that?
Yeah, he's straight in number three. He's got my number three
Carl
shirt.
Heymans.
And Matt Stevens, who can do a job on either side.
Matt Stevens, South Africa.
Yeah.
Oh, but he's not playing, so who cares?
Yeah, he's not playing international.
Yeah, fine. Foreign.
Heymans. Done.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Some uncapped hooker suggestions for New Zealand. The Highlanders hooker. Do you see much of him? Liam Coltman. I reckon he'll make the World Cup squad.
Wow. Really?
He's so much like Dane Coles. Like real modern day hooker.
I can't take anyone seriously called Dane. I keep thinking Dane Bowers. Jamie George or David Pace?
Jamie George could be up there. David Pace is capped. Isn't he? But he's not. He's not in the squad.
He was in the training squad, but then got released. Really, so,
yeah,
Jamie George would be someone I'd look at.
You've mentioned Tommy Taylor in the past as well.
Mm, he's not fit.
Is he not? Ah,
no.
Right. Okay.
Ineligible. Okay, so second row.
Maro Itoji.
I was going to go with Itoji.
Itoji of Saris. He had a great LV Cup match last weekend.
I've not seen it. Unsurprisingly, I wasn't watching the LV Cup. I've gone with Hooper and Dean Mum.
Ah, Dean Mum.
Dean Mum in.
Michael Patterson of Sale.
I wasn't sure if he's in the training squad. Has he been completely dropped?
No, not in the training squad.
Patterson and Mum. Done.
Patterson, Mum. Yeah,
let's do
good.
It. Back row then. RD Surveyor.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah, he's only 20 as well.
I know.
Is that the younger brother?
He's going to be so good.
Surveyor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to be so good. And another younger brother, Luke Braid. I think if he was playing for any other nation, maybe except for Australia, he'd be in an international squad.
Was he a younger brother? Is it Daniel Braid's brother?
Yeah.
But Dan Braid's Kiwi, right?
Yeah.
But his brother's playing for Australia?
No. If he was any other nationality other than Australian, he would be in the squad.
Hang on. So is he?
So what I'm saying is, I can't...
I'm sorry, he's
a Kiwi, but I'm not going to make the statement if he was any other nationality, he'd be in an international squad, because the exception to that would be if he was Australian.
Ah, right. Sorry, got you.
Yeah.
So he's Australian.
Stefan.
Stefan's definitely in
there. You're
going to get me. Gibson, he's not playing as well this season, but last season he played all. There's someone who I think is better than Jamie Gibson. England, number 6, who's playing superbly well this season. I think he should be in the.
Let me have a think. Who could
definitely in the Saxon squad for the Six Nations?
No, Callum Clark was in the squad. That's another six.
Oh, Dave Wilson.
Right, last name.
Oh, hang on, David. No, hang on, Mark Wilson.
Mark Wilson, Newcastle six, captain in Newcastle this season. He is playing really, really well. Yeah, from Kendall, somewhere like that. Mm. Good ball carrier, good hands, real solid in defence.
Yeah,
there's a South African, Lapis Lubashang. I don't know how to say his name. he's an awesome prospect.
Where's he playing?
He was at the Cheetahs and he's just moved to the Bulls.
How are you finding these people?
Mm. Huh?
How are you finding these people?
Just knowledge, Jay. Just knowledge.
Oh, this is my general top Super Rugby knowledge.
Dropping knowledge bombs all over. But it's got to be Stephen Armitage, hasn't it? Stephen Armitage. I'm going to say Ardie Surveyor because he's going to be good.
Surveyor, yeah.
I got Daniel Braid, but you can pick whoever else you want.
I'd like to see Mark Wilson in there. Big fan of his.
Fine.
Yeah.
Scrum half.
Joe Simpson for me.
Joe Simpson for me.
I know he's been in and around the squad before.
There's got to be better scrum halves from other nations.
Yeah, there must be.
Joe Simpson.
Yeah, there literally must be.
There's probably about 10 in New Zealand alone.
But we don't know any of them, so that's fine. Fly half. What about JJ Hanrahan of Munster?
Andy Goode.
What are you mental?
Paddy Jackson of Ulster.
Yeah.
Matt Gittell, not in the squad. He can play a bit.
Yeah, Matt Gittell's
all right.
Isn't he?
Owen Williams. I know I should really be mentioning him back-to-back like that, but Owen Williams?
He's not having a good season, Owen
no,
Williams.
No, he's not playing well.
I know it's in a poor team.
Pick one. Jay.
Paddy Jackson. Paddy Jackson.
No, Matt Gittell.
Yeah, we'll put Gittell at 12, so Paddy Jackson can...
12? Obviously, if he was fit, we would be able to say Sam Burgess.
Oh, yes.
Robbie Frewin.
Another.
I mean, again, if you think about the depth of New Zealand's centres,
yeah.
And Robbie Frewin's probably the next in line that isn't being selected.
I've not heard that name for a long time.
Well, you could say Richard Kahui.
Yeah.
Who's another name you've probably not heard of for a little while.
Gavin Henson.
I'd like to go for going for the young guns, Stuart McCloskey.
Nice.
Another Ulsterman.
Big lad.
Who we saw. I was a little bit surprised he didn't get called up into the Ireland squad with a shortage of centres because, yeah, he's been playing really, really well.
Matt Gittell, 12.
Yep.
And who, 13?
Go with Henson. Just to be safe.
Henson, yeah.
You know what you're going to get?
Oh, world class. Fine. Wingers. What this one? Carlin Isles.
Wow.
He's never been selected for the US Eagles.
Not only is he not signed by the US Eagles, he's not signed by anyone. So
I know.
He's definitely free to play.
A mate of mine was saying, well, why doesn't someone just get him? Why doesn't someone just have him, put him on the wing and he gets 5 yards of space and he scores? I was like, do you not think that everyone has thought of that? Like, Glasgow signed him for a bit and he only played for...
He played for Stirling.
Stirling, or yeah.
Not so, Carlin.
I don't think for 15s.
Oh, I'm going to chuck a load of names at you. Obviously, the Honey Badger. The badge.
Yeah.
The badge on one wing. Let's just put him there.
Drew Mitchell.
And then Drew Mitchell's another option on the other one. But there's obviously Dylan Armitage. He can play back three. He's been playing brilliantly recently. A loafer.
Yeah.
Why don't you move James O'Connor to 13, Drew Mitchell, then you can have the badge and, whoever else you want.
René Reindre.
Oh, yeah.
Rapeni Thalthal.
Oh, yeah.
He's not playing for anyone at them. Has he turned up yet?
Here's one for the future, a Welshman. I'm sure Jay will know this one. Jordan Williams, Scarlets. He's playing so well. Go on, I don't care. Pick a back three.
Okay, Miles
Bennett. The badge, Drew Mitchell.
Yeah. Why not?
There we go. I guess actually what you've got more than anything there is just a load of names of people that aren't playing.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Which is fine.
That's what we're here fine. For.
One player who is now playing is the Kiwi-born French prop. I don't know how to pronounce the name, so I apologise. Uini Antonio, 24 stone.
He made our gargantuan 15 or fatties 15 or whatever you want to call it by being 145 kg, or maybe even more than that. Maybe like 150 kg.
But size isn't everything when it comes to scrummaging, as Japan are proving. They played the New Zealand Maori and absolutely demolished them in the scrum. And you watched Japan recently, didn't you? Against Russia, wasn't it?
Yeah,
we watched them last year.
We watched them last year. And when we saw the teams come out, because we were like standing by the tunnel, we were like, oh my God, these Japanese guys look tiny compared to the Russian, because the Russians had some really big boys. And they just completely out-scrimmaged them. Not even close.
They were more organised.
Yeah, more paced. All their set piece was better. Just an all-round better team. And they beat them by 40 points to 10 or something.
Eddie Jones has been talking about Japan's much improved scrum. And here he is.
3 years ago, we played Romania. A whole 26 points from Romania came from their scrum. So from that game onwards, we changed the scrum coach. And we employed a French scrum coach.
フランス人のスクラムコーチを起用しています。
He's absolutely crazy.
あの、本当にキチガイみたいなコーチなんですが。
But he changed the mindset of the players.
ただ彼が変えたことはですね、選手のスクラムに対する心づもり、マインドセットです。
By changing the mindset of the players.
Just one observation is how much longer does it take to say a few words in Japanese?
Yeah.
And again, finding our competitive edge in the scrum.
具体的に言いますと、そのスクラムの中で、自分たちの武器となるもの、強みを見つけ
たことです。
我々非常にですね、低く、それから、一貫して、スクラムを今、選手に
組み立てています。
その、世界のおそらくですね、トップ13ぐらいに入る、スクラムというのを
やっています。So now, in the world.
それぐらいのレベルだ
った。It's a big statement, that, isn't it?
That is a huge statement. Because that's saying...
Who are they worse then?
Well, you say...
Who are the best scrummaging sides in the world? Argentina would be one.
Argentina, New Zealand.
England.
South Africa. Wales. So Ireland.
So they're saying they're probably better than all but the top four teams in the world.
But yeah, France aren't even in that. Yeah.
So. And Ireland battered...
South Africa.
Well, they battered them, but they were on level pegging at least. But were their second choice front row?
But examining some evidence, that's them against Italy, just absolutely dominating.
That is impressive.
Just... Look at that! I mean, you haven't seen that since the 1980s. A scrum that Italy are just working backwards for about 20 metres.
Where do they get this scrum coach from? Why does he not already have a job?
Yeah, he's going to be so in demand. That's what I was going to say. This French guy is going to be massively in demand now.
Yeah, because presumably all their players are like 5-10 kilograms lighter than the average. Imagine what he could do with players of average or above.
Maybe because we live in this horrible sanitised world that you created, Phil. That mental scrum coaches are no longer accepted in the professional world. And so this relic has gone back to Japan, and look what he's doing.
Well, top five in the world might be overstating it, but it's quite an interesting little turnaround, bearing in mind that props and scrummaging players are like worth their weight in gold.
Yeah. So presumably some of these players will be coming to some of the big leagues if they are that good.
Unless they're good as a unit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, here's another little thing. When we speak of different languages, this is a little teaser for a DVD which is coming out very soon. Racing Club Toulon are going to be releasing a DVD of their 2013-14 top 14 and European winning season, obviously featuring Johnny Wilkinson in his last season playing rugby. And the little teaser that's been released in the last couple of days is of Johnny Wilkinson giving a team talk at halftime in the Heineken Cup semi-final. They were playing against Munster and they were 1 point up at half time. Check out, well, firstly, Johnny Wilkinson can swear.
What?
I know. Secondly, check out with his multicultural, multinational team of Toulon, how he flips from French into English and back again and just sounds really inspiring. I didn't know Johnny Wilkinson had this in him.
Okay, donc le demi-final avec Cameron et Tajoui. We're leading by a point, 40 minutes to play in the semi-final. You get it straight, okay? Set it in. Get in your heads what's happening. On defense, on a goal line, okay? On both feet. Come on, Faye Toulon. We get in line and we go up, like Toulon do. Okay, bang, placage, on back. Fini, Steph Ballon. Okay, placage, Fini. On the EC, you rest Cameron out. We're here, there's 40 minutes to go. Change it. Change it yourselves, you've got enough experience here on the acid experiment.
I hope they do that in English, that DVD, because I quite like to watch that.
Yeah. I'm going to say something you're not going to like, which is I think that's very good.
What?
I think it's the music. I would like to hear that without the music. I like the linguistics, I like the way you use from one to the other. I was thinking, that sounds a little bit like Broughton Park. It's not...
No, I've...
Yeah, make your hits. Yeah, we know we make our hits. No. Make your hits harder than usual. Okay, we'll do that.
It's not always the actual content of what's being said. It's the actions and the intensity and like being able to...
You have a look at that. He was holding the attention of those international superstars, French, Australian, South African, New Zealand, English... Parmesan.
I told you wouldn't like it.
Don't tell me it's like... I would have to say, now, I liked I liked Broughton Park. I it's my local club. It's where I take my lad to play mini rugby. It was the worst team talks I've ever experienced. Poor, they were the worst team talks ever. I used to get told off for not wanting to scream and shout. I'm one of those players that just likes to sit on my own and just be really quiet.
I think that comes with age, though.
No, I've always been like that.
I've always been like that. I used to love the scream and shouting, but kind of...
But that's fine. Each to his own. But I used to get told off. I used to get, oi, Tim, come on.
I hate that as well.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate it.
But they were so clichéd. If you could write the obvious statements that you're going to make...
Make it
cringe thinking
about
it.
Make it really hard.
Yeah.
And then at half time, it's still 0-0.
Yeah, it's 0-0.
No, we're losing by 20 points. It's still 0-0.
And also, the same one, I never got that when you're like 30-0 up. It's 0-0. It's 0-0. No, it's all right. I can still play this hard.
Yeah.
But don't tell me it's 0-0 when it's 30-0 up.
The worst one by far is when you're propping and someone basically tells you to push harder. Like, yeah, I've got it. I know that's my job.
Go on, Jay, put your back into it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, got it. Get tight, get low. Right.
Well, I like that anyway. Cheers, Jay.
I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that.
You enjoyed the music.
Music did add a little something. I'll give it that. We're going to get into the upcoming weekend's rugby fixtures, but once again, Phil has got a little trivia teaser for you.
I have.
Mmm.
Slightly different style this week. I have got how many questions?
Did I win last week?
You did, yeah.
Yes.
I think it's 2-1 to 2.
No. So this... you don't ask who won last week when you don't win.
So the first question,
yeah,
is I want you to name the players from the British and Irish Lions 2013 who have played the most games and the fewest games since the tournament finished. So, in the last 18 months, which one player has played the most games and which one player has played the fewest? Okay. Next question. One member of England's Matchday 23 is not on Twitter.
Oh, great.
Who is it?
Mmm.
It's a little brain teaser.
Mm, wow. That's an interesting one.
And the final question I want. Well, I'm not going to tell you how many names I want. When Stephen Donald kicked the winning penalty to win the World Cup for New Zealand, mm-hmm, who were the injured tens who weren't there that meant he was on the field? So the ones that played, started at 10 in that tournament, who was it ahead of him?
Dunham.
Okay, I'm a bit more confident about that one.
The Twitter one. I just need a little bit more time to think that one through.
Can I tell you a little something about Twitter that I found out from another little rugby job I have? I was having a little chat to Mark Cueto and Sam Tuitupu, and I thought, oh, I'll just put a little thing out on Twitter. Oh, I'm chatting to Mark Cueto and Sam Tuitupu of Sail Sharks. And Sam Tuitupu has a shared Twitter account with his missus. I think that's unforgivable, frankly.
That's what happens when you're playing the same team as Andy Powell.
Didn't the Fianga twins have a shared Twitter account a while ago?
Really?
Yeah. Which is even weirder.
No. Maybe.
Well, actually, they're both pretty weird, aren't they?
It's odd. I mean, we share ours three ways, so...
Well, yeah, that's true, actually.
Right, let's get the answers then.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, I've got some names.
So you want the one player who's played the most?
The most appearances, yes.
Okay. Who's your guess, Tim?
I'm going to say Paul O'Connell.
Oh!
Paul O'Connell for the most appearances. Jonathan?
Only because I'm thinking Ireland
and
Heineken Cup, they went all the way to the end. But then last season was when Munster used to rest loads of players, so maybe I've bodged up there.
I was going to someone who's got a lot of knocks, but I think he's played a lot of games, George North.
Oh, that's a great shout. Playing in the Premiership, I think you've got it.
Now I can tell you, Paul O'Connell has played 31 games.
Oh, no.
George North has played 42 games. Now, George North has played the most minutes, but...
It'll be a prop then.
Richie Gray has played 45 games.
Really?
Oh, no.
Yeah. The top 14, actually.
Yeah.
Campaign, they play everything.
And they extract, they extract the most out of their foreign players.
Well, technically, you got nothing then, Jay. Technically, you didn't get it wrong. The least...
Manu Tuilagi.
Tim?
I've gone with Tommy Bowe.
Manu Tuilagi, I can tell you, has played 18 games since then.
Oh, that's...
Tommy Bowe has played 22 games.
Really?
Someone has only played 3 games.
Alex Corbusiero was my other guess.
Oh, wow.
Corbusiero has played 14.
Oh.
There's two lower. Who? Two lower, and they both played the same position.
Sam Warburton and Sean O'Brien.
Oh,
Sean O'Brien,
well done.
And Tom Croft. Tom Croft has played three.
Shame it wasn't your answer.
Tom Croft's played three games in 18 months.
Right. Who is not on Twitter? I don't think I'm going to be right on this one, but I'm going to guess just because he's a military man, Samisa Rokandanguni.
No, I've seen him on Twitter. I'm sure I have. I had one guy, but I'm going to change it last minute and say it's Davey Wilson.
Davey Wilson is on Twitter. And Rokandanguni is on Twitter. It's Matt Mullen. Is the only one easily forgettable?
Yes,
from that squad.
And I've got them written down just so you can clarify. Have you got your three New Zealand players injured written down? I think it's the three guys that are in and around the squad now. I think it's Cruden, Carter, Slade.
It's Carter, Cruden, McAllister.
I can tell you one person has got 3 points.
Correct.
It is Tim Cocker.
No!
Oh, winner!
No, I've won. I've got the first two.
No, you didn't get any points because you got the wrong players.
Yes!
You've got the control buttons as well, Tim.
Get in! Jay's so annoyed.
McAllister was 2007 was the World Cup he played, and then he went to Sale.
What a stupid quiz.
Only have you had to eat your humble pie to Scotland, but now you've lost again. Tail between your legs.
It should have been the name, which is highest or lowest.
Maybe it should have been.
Yes, it absolutely should have been.
But that's not the rules, so based on the laws, I win.
That's all not the letter of the law, is it?
I'm sure in any case, you probably did better than Jay and I did, but there you go. Let's look ahead to the weekend's rugby that is coming up. Because, for England, it does not get any easier. Well,
it literally does.
Only a tiny bit easier. Gets a tiny bit easier.
Swapping the best team in the world for the second best team in the world.
So who have they got? Ireland?
Ireland almost moved up into third in the rankings.
Is that right?
If JP Peterson hadn't scored his try in the last minute, Ireland would have leapfrogged both England and Australia.
How competitive will this World Cup be, by the way? Just judging on this first round of games.
Yeah.
So England have got a few players to watch for in terms of fitness. Kyle Eastman's in quarantine with sickness. Dave Attwood took a knock and missed training on Monday today. Samisa Rokandanguni was replaced against New Zealand with a hip problem. So could be a fitness doubt. Courtney Laws looks like he's going to be out. Dylan Hartley, again, concussion could rule him out.
They've got concussion protocol on Thursday morning, haven't they?
Yeah.
And if they come through that, they'll be okay to play. But it's not looking good.
No, but Stuart Lancaster has ruled out major changes. I mean, it was obvious what they needed to do against New Zealand. It was just that they just didn't manage the game very well and get out of their own half.
In the second half. The conditions dictated what their game plan should have been, and they didn't adapt to it. They didn't react to it quick enough, and they just end up kind of playing predictable rugby. Danny Kerr put a few poor box kicks that weren't chased very well straight into the back three's hands, which allows them to return the ball nice and easily.
I can't call this one. I genuinely can't. I think England are going to want to bounce back. Of course they are. South Africa have just lost, but again, they're going to be competitive. I just don't know.
I think England will learn from the mistakes of the second half last week and will play more like their first half, hopefully for 60, 70 minutes, and England will narrowly win.
Okay, this is how I'm going to call it. Same as the summer tour, which was England were competitive and then they got smashed. And I think they might get smashed because they've been competitive and it's taken a lot out of them.
I think that was their first game together and they'll improve. I think they'll win at home.
Just.
I think it'll be ugly.
Wales Fiji.
Well, Wales will get
this. Is this a Friday night one by any chance?
It's not Saturday.
They're all on Saturday.
Oh wow! Okay.
Apart from Ireland, Georgia.
Oh yes.
Oh, Ireland playing Georgia.
Yeah.
Oh, good on them.
Yeah, good on them.
I think that Wales will win.
Wales will spank them, yeah. I would have thought. They'll win comfortably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember losing in the World Cup to Fiji, so let's not write them off too early.
Okay, so Scotland against New Zealand. Go on then, Jay. You can now I think it would be appropriate for you to use your prediction
Scotland
for last weekend.
100% win.
One bit and twice shy.
Yeah. No, this is going to be a complete... No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to say they're going to get absolutely spanked. I think they will get absolutely spanked.
I think they'll lose by 15-20 points.
20 points will do me fine. Not that I want 20 points, but that will do me fine. I'll settle for 25.
But I would, again, like to see Scotland's backs firing and using their back three. I'd like to see, if Scotland score a couple of good tries and lose by 15 points, I think that's probably a positive based on where they were a couple of seasons ago.
Absolutely. 12 months ago.
Absolutely. Yeah. As you say, Ireland-Georgia's on Sunday. And obviously, there'll be very little doubt about, I imagine, they'll make a few changes for that fixture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
France-Australia is quite an interesting one. France had a decent win against Fiji and have brought in a load of players that Teddy Thomas looks quality player.
Is that how you say it?
Scott Spedding at the back as well. They've got a few imports.
You say these names with French accents because I'm assuming they're French lads.
Scott Spedding.
Spedding is a South African.
Ah, okay.
And Rory Cockett is in.
Cockett.
And they're overhauling their squad with foreigners.
I'm going to say that Renter squad will lose by 10 points.
Which one's Renter squad? France.
En français. I'm going to say France win in Paris.
I'm going for Australia.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
Wise, Phil, wise.
Yes.
Italy, Argentina. I mean, these two nations have got a long, rich history between, you know, immigrants and... emigrating from one country to the other. There's a lot of big Argentinian population
and
in Italy and vice versa.
Scrummaging.
They love scrummaging.
I think there's a gentleman's agreement they'll only play with eight players each.
And Italy had a good result.
That is a good result against Samoa. Yeah, 24-13.
I'm going to go with Argentina.
Australia and New Zealand had like a month off after the Rugby Championship, whereas most of the Argentinian players were immediately back to England and the top 14.
Back into the meat grinder.
Yeah, attritional warlike matches in the top 14. Yeah. That must be really tough. So, yeah, Italy to get a good scalp.
And what do you think, obviously the big question everyone's talking about is what do you think Johnny May's hair will look like on Saturday? Do you think he'll go for the sort of little tufty dog ears again?
Double tufts, definitely.
Double tufts. Hopefully, yeah.
Some incredible facial expression when he was scoring that try.
You know what his vinegar strokes look like now, don't you?
That's
the unfortunate thing. I just thought, no. If you don't know what that means, don't look it up. Please don't.
I'm off to the best sports ground in the world tomorrow.
Are you?
Against the Wreck.
Exciting.
Now, have you got a reply from Bryn or anything?
I haven't got a reply from Bryn, but one of the boys from RGC has been picked for the Barbarians.
Should we just try calling him anyway?
Shall we give him a quick go?
So, yeah, one of JB's old mates...
A lad I went to university with as well. We both played second team rugby at university together.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh dear, and you became a body wreck and he became a barbarian.
Yeah.
Pretty much, that's what it is. Amazing what you can do when you're six foot four and 18 stone.
Yeah, it does help, doesn't it? Hi,
it's Bryn.
No.
No. Oh, well, good luck, Bryno.
Yeah.
Yeah, best luck, Bryn. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yep. I want a full report on the bag of stash that you get being a barbarian this season.
He's promised me his barbarian socks. I'm looking forward to them.
Nice. Mm-hmm. No, but hold on.
Do you even get
You don't get barbarians. it was a joke.
We get it.
Oh, God.
Hold on a minute.
Thank you. Very
good. Speaking of stash... quick couple of mention of a couple of new kits. France's new kit, New Zealand's new kit, Ireland's second kit I really liked.
I love France's kit.
Okay, so I don't know what it looks like on.
It looks good.
Does it?
Oh my God, it looks good.
Now, I have a problem. I have a problem with New Zealand.
Really?
Whose marketing material describes their new kit as tighter and blacker than ever before. However, for those of you who are more astute, such as me, you'll notice that it's a two-tone black. So you've got two different stripes. Now, black by its definition can only be one colour, right? So it's only half black.
So there's less white on it is what they mean, but it's half black and half grey.
Correct. They're the half blacks.
I'm sure we can't say that.
Yeah.
Well, there's many reasons why we can't say that.
You can't say it.
Yeah, they've gone for a silver fern instead of a white fern.
Ooh, seen the French kit. Yeah. Not as nice as the last one.
No,
oh. but nice all the same.
The last one was beautiful. Adidas do great kits. We are in the golden age of kits. We really are. And
I actually think this might be nicer. I think I might prefer it.
No, you don't.
Oh, God,
no,
you I love don't. It. I think it's incredible. No, you don't. Yeah, it's delightful. Seriously tempted to drop like £80 on one of the Pro-Fit shirts.
The dry fit material does look very nice though.
Yeah.
I think Phil is going to take a print out of that screenshot.
Where's
and,
the Phil Farner?
Take a hike up a mountain Phil. On horseback and go and pitch a tent for the night with that picture of Wesley Fofana.
Phil Farner stood next to Uge in that kit.
Or as Eddie Butler calls him, Fofana. Fofana. You love the way he says Wesley Fofana's name.
Fofana?
Wesley Fofana.
Yeah, Phil's been silly because I think actually the old kit is nicer. What Phil's doing here is acting like a man who's married a beautiful, beautiful woman, but he's not bored of her. And like the new woman,
the next woman
yeah, next one comes through, and you're absolutely besotted.
And that phrase, you don't know what you got to the top. And then what happens is you'll have your new woman on your arm, and you'll bump into your ex in a hotel lobby
exactly.
And go, "Damn,
that kit's nice."
Maybe you could combine the two, Phil, and buy the French shirt for your girlfriend.
Oh yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
Or even buy it for you. So it's slightly big, so she can do that thing where you wear a shirt just and it's a bit big for them when they're getting up in the morning.
This isn't a joke. I bought my other half a French shirt. We went to watch New Zealand France in the semi final, and I wear it for training though.
How big was it?
It's very small, but it's kind of that kind of stretchy material. So actually, when I put it on, it looks like one of those very tight fitting ones.
You do like your tight fitting.
I do like my tight fitting jerseys.
Wow, that's. Well, how are you going to top that Valentine's Day in a couple of months, Jay? What are you going to do?
I've also bought her a pink South Africa kit.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. She's well looked after. She's a lucky lady.
Did you make a parade in them at any point?
No, she's got Chicago Bears top as well.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
I got Claire a Chicago Bears hat.
Indeed.
When we're out there.
So, yeah, a well-kitted out lady.
Mm, sounds it. I'm actually now looking up women's fit French rugby shirts because I think that's a great idea, Tim.
You can, because you can't enjoy the beauty of it when you're wearing it.
If you're wearing it, all you can do is look in the mirror.
Well, I do spend quite a lot of time doing that, Jay.
Right, enjoy the rugby over the weekend. Oh, we're back to Premiership, aren't we?
It's not real Premiership, though, is it? I mean, it is and it isn't.
But we should mention the Premiership rugby that's on Friday night, Gloucester Harlequins.
Gloucester at home.
What are they without Danny Kerr? I'm going to change and go Gloucester as
I'll
well.
I'll go Gloucester.
Gloucester.
Northampton Exeter, Saints without their England contingent, and Welsh contingent.
That'd be a good
news,
test.
Newsflash, apparently. Is it a done deal? Manoa to...
It's not official.
Toulon.
There's been reports today that Manoa and Nonu are both done deals to Toulon. Imagine a centre partnership with Nonu and Bastereau.
Yeah.
It's direct, isn't it?
Not much room for many others.
Not much room on the pitch for anyone else.
Wow.
Yes, it's pretty direct.
That's pretty direct. I'm going to go...
So this will be a real good test. Because Exeter lose a couple of players. Definitely.
I might go for an upset there at Exeter.
I think I'll join you with Exeter. Mm.
Sale, London Irish. Mm. Lunchtime kickoff on Saturday.
Neither team losing many.
London Irish are arguably losing their best player in Blair Cowan.
And they're losing Jeb Sinclair.
And Kieran Lowe. I would have favoured Sale in a close battle at home, probably.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Bath, Newcastle. Bath, even without their internationals. But Newcastle have been playing well.
Yeah, they lost by 1 point, was it, on the weekend? They could have made it, that's like five in a row. Outrageous.
Yeah, they apparently, from what I read, they threw that game against Cardiff away. Bath at home, even with internationals missing, should still do have enough.
Yeah. Leicester Saracens on Sunday.
I think Saracens.
Yeah.
Just that team, that team structure. Here we go.
Western Province.
Yes.
And they played an LV Cup game against someone else. They fielded
two
teams with all their internationals missing as well. So they don't need to worry about their squad depth.
No. Nah.
They've got enough players.
Because they're a hive mind. They're just like the Borg.
Whereas Leicester probably do still need to worry about
that. They were probably in two separate games playing the same patterns simultaneously.
Yeah. I think that'll be a close game. I think Saracens to edge it.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Although Leicester, anything could happen in that one. And Wasps, London Welsh.
50 Wasps. Points.
Wasps.
And Andy Good, 50 points on his own.
Yeah, not going to be good. get in touch on Twitter at Rugby Podcast. Keep leaving your what's it called, your reviews, by the way, on iTunes. And there's one that I thought you boys might enjoy. I was looking through some of them. This is from Jolly Bobs, who's given it a 5-star rating. Thank you very much.
Good,
Thank you.
It says, Jolly Bobs says, a subscription to this pod is the Bantos Black Card.
Wow.
Quality. So it was just one of them. I mean, there's lots of nice things, and but be constructive. I'm not just fishing for compliments here, but give us some thoughts if there's something you want on the podcast, or if you've got a little teaser trivia question that Phil could maybe ask, we'll give you credit. We'll always give you credit for stuff like that. At Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. You can download on iTunes, subscribe there, tell your mates, and we will see you on the next podcast. Top work, JB.
Goodbye, Tim.
Nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.